This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Frisco. I love this from the 817. Shout out to y'all. Spent my lunch with you guys at Buffalo Wild Wings. It was my first time going to one of your outings. Also, I hope you pick out my name for the tickets. That is totally fair. That is totally fair right there. And we want to thank everyone who's been buying these little kind of charitable baskets for Team Up for Kids and specifically the Miracle League that Buffalo Wild Wings is doing here in Frisco. Really awesome job everyone has been doing. And now it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors and a not disappointing guest.
That's right. That's right. Our friend Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com always joins us on Fridays. And today he said, I'll be right there with you. You're in my neck.
I was already ready to trash you if you weren't here.
And that's the thing is, like, I was sitting in the parking lot listening to the show, and I was like, oh, it sounds like they're about to go to a break. I'll go ahead and walk in. Like, I didn't want to come and like just hover and just chill out. So
could have had Ranger talk with us.
I know. If I would have shown up early, I could have talked about Kamar Rocker and kind of gotten into it.
And I didn't even get to, like, how come on DeGrom it's a little D but a big G?
Never makes sense, does it?
And then Ellie De La Cruz, they're all capitalized.
Yeah. All of them.
All the letters.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Oh, the beginning of all four.
I kind of like the idea of being the person that's like, no, my name's all caps.
Yeah.
Like,
my name is Kyle Yeomans.
I'm yelling my name at you at all times. Now, Kyle, I see you wearing the mean green gear.
Yeah.
And I know we got Wyoming this weekend at home. How are you feeling about our chances against Wyoming?
Pretty good. I mean, that's an 0-3 Wyoming team. You're coming off of a rough loss at Texas Tech last week, and Chandler Morris is a really good quarterback. Of course, won a state championship with Highland Park, bounced around from Oklahoma to TCU, threw three interceptions last week. And I talked to Coach Morris yesterday from North Texas, and he was very high on his way to respond from a loss like that and able to do it at home at that Q Stadium tomorrow. I'll actually be on the call for the game. I'm going to do the radio broadcast tomorrow, so that'll be a lot of fun.
He's delightful. Really good at calling football games, if you haven't heard, Kevin.
Do you think their running backs are better than the Cowboys' running backs?
Oh, dude, now, I will say they're really banged up at running back, so I don't know. Maybe not this time.
All right. So we talked to Jerry earlier. It is apparently now starting to make some national news. He says it's the media who keeps asking about the running backs so much, and I do not find that to be the case whatsoever. We have fans that ask us about it all the time. Where do you think the disconnect is between people watching the football and the Cowboys, or do you think the Cowboys just have to put up this front of like, hey, yeah, I know we're starting out with the guy who wasn't good last year with the Patriots, but don't pay attention to that. And before that, he was so bad we had to release him, but don't worry about that either. He's our guy now.
Yeah.
Is it they just have to sell, we believe in what we've got, because you're not going to come out and be like, we know they're crap. We know, crap might be too hard. We know they're probably among the worst in the league. That seems to be the prevailing wisdom.
It to me, and in the conversations that I've had within the building, I think they legitimately think Rico Dowdle and Ezekiel Elliott together can run the football effectively. Based off of what they've seen in practice and training camp and things of the sort. Do I agree? I don't. I really don't think that this is a tandem or a running back room that can run the football effectively, and the first 2 weeks have certainly shown that. I mean, if you can find a home run hitter out of the group, which maybe it's Deuce Vaughn if he gets more carries, maybe it's Rico Dowdle if he finds a way to make guys miss in the open space, but there's so many times on film where you see them in open space, you see good blocking up front, you can see a hole opening up, and yet it still ends up in 3 or 4 yards, and it doesn't end up in downfield plays, anything like that, unless it's a broken play to Ezekiel Elliott in a screen action, and he's able to run the ball because there's nobody within 20 yards of him.
Can we stop running Deuce Vaughn, just like draw
straight
right
in between
the
tackles?
Yeah, I don't understand that play at all.
Get him outside the numbers.
Yeah.
See what you can do in the flats. That's where he was successful at Kansas State. All-purpose yards leader in the FBS is whenever you got outside the tackles and utilized him in space. You're not running him in between the tackles with his size and his build. He's so electrifying that you can get him outside. And even against NFL talent, in the edge and in the secondary, I think you're still going to have some success.
Yeah, I'm totally with the same way that the Saints ran against the Cowboys, where that cutback, you're hiding, and then Deuce can hide behind an offensive line.
Yeah.
And then get Deuce, that cutback, and he can tear it up.
Deuce is not Alvin Kamara by any stretch of the imagination, but his skill set is lateral, and it's quickness, and that's some of the things that Kamara does well. He's just a bigger running back at doing those things.
Okay, to add to it, though, because Mike and I constantly have this discussion. Mike's like, Emmitt Smith didn't always have the holes there, but the offensive line, I'm going to say that Cooper Beebe and Tyler Guyton still have work to do.
No doubt.
And I feel like that's kind of shown a little bit in the run game as well as the pass game.
And both of those guys came out of college as better run blockers and more polished run blockers than they were pass blockers. So I think there is still much to be desired from both of those guys because you expected them to come in and baseline
and
be able to plug and play in the run game. And we haven't necessarily seen that yet. The offensive line hasn't been perfect, but neither have the running backs. And that's where my disconnect is compared to maybe the belief within the building. They actually do. I don't think they're putting on a front for the media or for whatever it may be. And Jerry saying that this morning with you guys and him talking about how they believe in these running backs. I think he's telling the truth. They do believe in Zeke and Rico. I just haven't seen it, and I don't think the offensive line has been helping as much either.
And they're going to keep believing, Kevin, and hope that they're right, I feel like.
Look, hey, just for the record, I also hope they're right.
I am a
Cowboys fan. I would love to have Jerry on here dunking on me going, what do you think about Ezekiel Elliott now? And I'm like, oh, fair enough. He's awesome.
You did it.
So, Kyle, every week, I think it's usually on Thursday. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe it's Wednesday. You have kind of like the Big Ten numbers going into
the
big
game. Facts.
Now, the Big Ten facts. Yeah. And so I wanted to bring up one of them. And maybe two of them, and you're not wrong about them, but the Dak had 27 completions against New Orleans. 11th time he's done that since the start of 2023 with at least 25 completions. No other QB in that span has more than 8.
Yeah.
So that is like a pretty sizable difference. Why doesn't that feel like a big deal?
Oh, man. Because a lot of them are underneath, and a lot of them utilize the tight ends and the running backs. And I don't think it's a bad thing in order to do that. I think that's why Jake Ferguson is starting to emerge as a legitimate weapon on your offense. That's why you utilized Tony Pollard last year the way that you hope to utilize Rico Dowdle this year, just haven't seen it yet. So I think it is a big deal, and it is something that I think this team has made a point in doing, is giving those short and intermediate passes in this West Coast scheme the opportunity to breathe and give an opportunity for yards after the catch.
Yeah.
So, that I think it is something significant. Like you said, I wouldn't have written about it if it was maybe one game more or two games
that's
more.
Three. That's
three games more than the second place quarterback in the entire league. So it's definitely an emphasis from this offensive system.
So you're just upset that it's not 27 touchdowns each game.
That would be nice.
He's doing
I would take
that would be a big
per
fact.
Half a season.
Okay.
27 touchdowns per half the season. Well, to go along with that, so far the Cowboys have zero offensive touchdowns in the second half.
Yeah.
Zero. What has happened to this offense in the second half? Because I know we're quick to point out they're third in points in the first half, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, great.
But they have scored zero offensive touchdowns in the second half. What is the disconnect?
Well, I think week one you had that game in hand to a certain extent.
That's fair.
You dominated week one. That's
I would
part
agree
of
with
it.
Yeah.
And if you score points on the back half of that game, that's great. And it just happened to be Brandon Aubrey's show from that point forward. And Dak talked about it this last week. So did McCarthy, for that matter. But you got to finish drives. This is a team that was efficient in the red zone the last couple of seasons. You got to be better at finishing drives. You can't rely on the weapon that is Brandon Aubrey all the time. If you need him at some point, you cross the 50, you have that confidence in him that you've got points in your bag. That's great. That's an awesome piece to your football team. But if you don't score touchdowns, you're not going to win a whole lot of games. So, yeah, three offensive touchdowns in the first 2 weeks, and you've got zero in the second half. You got to find a way to be more effective in the red zone, and I think having Ferguson back should help that out.
I was listening to, and we'll get to Ferguson in just a minute, but I was listening to Woolchuck and Broaddus in the postgame show, and Broaddus just time after time, and Kevin, we talked about it Monday, red zone efficiency is bad right
now. It's bad. Yeah.
And from what you've seen, is it design? Is it just execute? What is it that's failing them
there? It's a little bit of both. I think there's some creativity that might need to spark this first problem, but it's a lack of separation from your wide receivers. You've got CeeDee Lamb who can build separation in space. Brandon Cooks can do it in space as well, but when you get inside the 20-yard line, the room to work goes away. So your separation has to be one either close to the line of scrimmage or on the break of your route, at the stem of your route. And Jalen Brooks, Jalen Tolbert, Kevontae Turpin, whoever else it has been outside of maybe Cooks and Lamb, who haven't been perfect either, outside of those guys, it hasn't been there. There hasn't been that separation for Dak to throw the football. And then we just talked about the running game. It's not like you're having a whole lot of success running the football either.
And that helps open that up just a little bit
True.
More when that Absolutely. Safety has to stall and look at that running back.
Yeah. I kind of wish I would have asked Jerry about this now. Did you guys see that FEMA, like actual FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, had to put out a correction that they were just kind of like having some fun with a training exercise when they declared the state of Texas a major disaster after the Saints beat the Cowboys? They had to put out a follow-up like correction saying this was just an internal thing. We were testing something in the building for training. If that doesn't motivate you, I don't know.
FEMA, they're based in Denton. They have like a whole headquarters up in Denton.
Well, they really dropped the ball on this one. They really dropped the ball on this one.
Or did they?
I mean, maybe this is what, like, since the FEMA scandal, the Cowboys broke off 8 straight wins.
It's the black cat from the Giants game a couple years ago.
Yes, or Grimace for the Mets. Yeah, I would love that.
We're going to rally around FEMA in 2024. That's what we're doing.
You mentioned Ferguson just a minute ago, and I saw McCarthy was like, hey, full participant today. Mm-hmm. You expect to see him on Sunday?
I do. I'm pretty confident in the fact that he, I mean, it's always that conversation that you have where it's barring a setback. By this point, there shouldn't be any setbacks. They've got another quick walkthrough tomorrow. That's about it, and then you're going into the game. So I think at this point, you expect Jake Ferguson to be on the field Sunday, which is a huge plus to this offense.
Any limitations when you bring that up? Sorry, Kyle.
You know, I don't think so. I think every time there's a weapon like that and somebody that is going to block and be probably your number two receiver at the same time, you have to have the expectation that maybe he's not 100%. But the way that Dak talked about him on Thursday, he talked about how if it were a high-octane, high-intensity moment, game, situation, Ferguson probably would have gone in week two. He may not have even missed it. And so hearing Dak say that makes me think he's okay. Back to as close to 100% as you can be after suffering what was nearly a major and very scary knee injury. He talked about no pain last week. It's all about shifting and planting and stability at this point. And I think all of that checked the boxes going into this one.
How do we shake up the defense in terms of turning the pressures back on? It could have just been a one-off week, you know. But it just was so drastically different from week one to week two. You saw one of the lower sack or pressure percentages the Cowboys have had in some time.
Yeah.
Anything to kind of fight against that, or do you look back at last week's game as an anomaly?
I don't think it was an anomaly. I think it was, and it hurts to talk about, but the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree has found a way to negate your pass rushers, to take away Micah Parsons, to take away DeMarcus Lawrence and those guys who had 25 pressures against the Browns in week one and only were able to muster 6 last week against New Orleans. So I don't think it's a one-off. I think there's an offensive plan that works against this defense, whether that's running directly at Micah Parsons, which they've done a number of times, just to put him in a tough situation. Or you go completely away from it, and that's what the Saints did last week. They were going to the opposite side that Micah was on, and they allowed either for the screen game to get Alvin Kamara behind him, go downfield, and have Derek Carr bootleg out to the wrong side where Micah Parsons has to just plain and simple run further to get to the quarterback. So even though he had 3 pressures last week, I think he'll have a better week this week, and I think this defense as a whole, even with the elusiveness of Lamar Jackson, they're going to still put some pressures on the board.
They're going to stop Lamar Jackson is what I just heard, Kevin.
They're going to put pressures on him. I don't know about
stopping
him.
Mike McCarthy's like, well, we're not going to stop him. But
you just got to disrupt him a little bit this morning with Sean and RJ and Bobby
and
nuts. Peyton.
He's so good. Like, you talk about the way that he runs. I mean, it's scary.
It's video
really
game.
It is. That's why he's the MVP. That's why he was the best in the league last year.
That's great stuff from Kyle Yeomans right there.
Do you want to hang out, Kyle? Yeah. Now that you decided to show up.
Oh, he gets to pick who's the stupidest of the week?
Yes.
Yes. I did this last year.
Masterpiece of the week, as Mike slowly but surely learns about all of our segments on the show.